now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning. You all right? Lovely cup of tea to start the day. To start the week, it is Monday, the 27th of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. It's just tick past 8 in the AM, British summertime. As always, I am joined by my producer this morning, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Great, and how are you out there? My glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me. Without you, it's not a thing. Hope you've had a good weekend. I really do. Hope you've had a good weekend. Should we jump straight into it then, without any further ado? Should we stop faffing about? What's the corporate legacy mainstream media banging on about this morning? That cabal of evil editors lying to you by omission, if nothing else. Trying to tell you what is or isn't important. What's Fleet Street, the British print media, talking about this morning? It's wall-to-wall Trump avoiding being assassinated again. It's that. Every single front page, without fail, is that. So, if you did something else this weekend and you weren't on the internet or you didn't watch any TV, welcome to this news cycle. Saturday evening. Was it 8:30 or so in the evening? Washington time, Eastern Standard Time. Someone tried to kill Trump again. Didn't really get that close to him, though. Or didn't really get close to him at all, but not like they shot at him and it nearly got him or anything. But that's the news today. That's a massive, massive thing. So that is literally wall to wall. So that's what we're going to be talking about, at least for the first bit of the Bo Show. That's what this show is. Whatever's in the news cycle that morning. Don't blame me. Quite often, sometimes I see. Occasionally I watch these back and I see the chat. So I don't really watch the chat in real time. I can't really. I don't know how people do that. How people make content, make videos, conduct a conversation and are watching all the chat at the same time. I just can't do it. I've never been able to play guitar and sing. I'm terrible at singing, can barely play guitar. But nonetheless, a few times I've tried to do it, my brain just goes, no, you can't do those two things at once. You're not capable of that. So, okay, I've watched the chat back once or twice. Sometimes people say, why are you talking about this? Because it's in the news. Because that's what's in the news. That's what this show is. Okay. Stop talking about that thing that the news is talking about. No, that's the nature of the show, I'm afraid. So, all right. So, we've got to talk all about, we have to, at least for the first half of the Bo Show, talk all about what happened. So, on Saturday night, it was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Now, I always think that's funny. I like it. I quite like it. If anyone who doesn't know, once a year, they have this thing, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and it's just like a roast, basically. It's basically just a comedy roast. I like it. They'll have a few speakers that will get up there, sometimes an actual comedian, have a few speakers, and they'll just like roast the president, roast the party, roast the government, roast America a little bit, and the president will get up, stand up, and do a sort of a comedy bit, like roast themselves a little bit. So I've got a really bloodshot eye there. Sorry about that. I'm perfectly sober. Don't know what to tell you. I'm not hungover or anything. One eye. All right. The president will stand up and they'll do a comedy bit. They'll roast themselves. And it's usually quite funny. Sometimes some of the jokes actually hit home a bit and people are like a bit annoyed. It's funny, I think so. Is that you wouldn't get the British establishment, the British government doing something like that. They're too sort of straight-laced and stuffy and serious. Imagine the Kremlin doing something like that. You can't imagine it, can you? Imagine like the Saudi royal family putting on a roast for themselves, about themselves every year. It just wouldn't happen, would it? I think it speaks volumes about America, like the American character, that they are able to be lighthearted and joke around a bit. Even with the most serious things, even in the middle of a war or something. I think it's good. I think it's great. So anyway, that was supposed to be happening Saturday night in, what was it, the Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. Little bit of history repeating. That was the hotel that Ronald Reagan was shot outside. In like 1980, was it 1981? Ronald Reagan was shot. Like in the stomach, wasn't it? In the stomach. When he was outside that very same hotel. And it was quite bad. He was rushed to hospital, but of course, obviously he lived. And he sort of returned to work really, really quickly. Like incredibly quickly. Wasn't quite like a Teddy Roosevelt who finished the speech he was giving when he was shot. That's remarkable, isn't it? TR, Teddy Roosevelt. Someone came up, an anarchist, I think it was it? Came up to him, shot him point blank in the chest. It went through, like, he had something in his pocket. It's either a cigarette holder or a flask or something. And a speech. He had his own speech rolled up, folded up in his pocket. And it went through that and then into his chest, but only like into the muscle. They went into his pectoral muscle and stopped there. But he was bleeding. He was shot. It pierced him and he was shot. In fact, later, afterwards, the doctors, it was dug quite far in him. Obviously, it didn't get to his heart or anything, or any lungs. But it was so far in him that the doctors decided to leave it in there, the bullet. So that's how far it got into him. Pretty bad injury, right? He said, and they caught the guy immediately, the guy that did it, whisked him away. And TR said, takes more than that to kill a bull moose. He was trying to start his own movement, his own party, his own branch of the Republican Party, the Bull Moose Party, or the Progressive Party. He called it the Bull Moose Party. He was the Bull Moose. Takes more than that to kill a bull moose. I'm going to finish my speech, actually. And did. Bleeding. They don't make them like that anymore. Good old TR. Trump said he wanted to continue after this incident happened, but the protocols were, the Secret Service protocols were. You can't really. So what happened? What actually happened? So they're sitting there. The thing hasn't really started yet. People are sort of having their actual meal, actual dinner before all the speeches and all the comedy starts. And outside, there's a big ballroom. You can hear like noises, shouts, a kerfuffle outside, gunshots. And yeah, it turns out, let's find a picture of the guy. Oh look, and all the Secret Service rush on stage. Look, they bundle the Donald away real quick, and Melania and everyone, they bundle them all away. And there was loads of other people there. Most of the government, well, not most of the government, that's an exaggeration. A lot of the cabinet and the senior people were all there. Secret Service bundle them away, quick smart. Armed dudes sort of turn up sort of immediately. You know, they're there, ready to rock and roll for just such an incident. And it turns out the guy, it was one guy, a lone wolf guy, telling us he's a lone wolf guy, didn't even get into the actual room, the actual auditorium, the ballroom space. He didn't even get in there, because as you can imagine, there's all sorts of layers of security. He tried to sprint past the security, but didn't get that far. Let's have a look. It's every single front page. Oh, look, well, Financial Times go with the fact that some Kenyan dude ran the London Marathon in under 2 hours. I mean, well, it's a remarkable thing, but I just don't care about it. Yeah, this guy, this dude, name's Alan, that's his surname, what is it? Cole Allen, his name is. Cole Allen. And there's footage, you can find it on YouTube in 2 seconds flat if you're so inclined. He had a shotgun a pistol and multiple knives on him. The footage is a bit remarkable, actually. He just sprints towards, there's like an outer cordon outside the actual ballroom area, you know, all sorts of Secret Service and police and various security services and, you know, all that. And he sprints up to and past them. Like, with a gun. As he sprints past one of them, he shoots the guy, a cop. Point blank range. Pardon me. Shoots him. But the dude was wearing a vest, bulletproof vest. And he's all right. But they took him to hospital to check, but he's essentially fine. Then, like, it all happens in seconds, you know. Then, there's like some sort of very small, very quick gunfight. You can see loads of the other cops, everyone around there that's, you know, security, all pull their guns out. And somehow, we haven't got the second by second breakdown of exactly how this ended up happening. But somehow the guy, Cole Allen, didn't get shot, but did get apprehended. There you go. Obviously, you can see with your own two eyeballs that they've got him there. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. So somehow he didn't get shot and he didn't shoot anyone else. So no one was killed or even really wounded, even though shots were fired. And they got him. There you go. And so we didn't actually even get into the actual ballroom room. Okay, so that's like the stripped down bare facts, bare events of what happened. Trump target as gunman storms gala. King's trip. Oh, of course, the British print media, a lot of it's through the lens of the King's trip. King Charles is going there, isn't he? Very imminently. It's like, oh, should King Charles still go? Yeah, he's still going, yeah. Do we need extra security around King Charles? I mean, maybe, if you want to. Yeah, probably. It's not really the important thing here, is it, whatsoever, but there you go. We are looking at the British print media, after all. Yeah, so the next thing, the next question is, like, who is he? What was his motivation? Why is it? I think maybe I've got hay fever. Touch of hay fever or something. Anyway, that's a me problem, isn't it? Okay, so who is this gentleman here? Lives in California. LA, I believe. Near Santa Monica. Near Santa Barbara. They're two very different places, aren't they? Anyway, in LA. He lives in LA. He went to Caltech University. He's got a master's degree in something. He's like 30, 31. Got a master's degree in somewhere other. I think he was like a part-time teacher, I read. And he's into computer game programming. Other bits and bobs like that. So, not a complete loser. Because sometimes assassins are real bad losers of people, aren't they? Sometimes they're complete losers. This guy doesn't seem to particularly have been a loser. Getting a master's from Caltech. It's not like he set the world alight, is it? But, I mean, he's not a complete idiot, it doesn't seem like. Well, I mean, he is, obviously. Mad. Quite mad. One of my first thoughts when some of the details of this emerged, I thought, this was like a suicide by cop thing. Feel like, I mean, obviously, it wasn't. It didn't work. But it sort of feels like that. Like, surely you know you're going to... Like, the likelihood of you going down in a hail of bullets is extremely high. Again, I know he didn't, but... remarkable that it didn't. So anyway, another thing is, often like killers or assassins, would-be assassins, would-be mass shooters, often they're entirely deranged. Right? They are completely sort of bonkers. Bonkers. You know, sometimes, often, I mean, like they'll write a manifesto or something. They will have a little manifesto they've put on 4chan or something. And it's a babbling, incoherent nonsense. Like, literally, like, stream of consciousness insanity. Like their mind is completely all over the place. They don't really know what they're doing or talking about. Often. It's often the way. Well, this guy had a manifesto. It wasn't much of a manifesto. It was more like a note. Suicide note, almost. And in that, I read through that. Or I watched a video where someone was breaking it down and talking about it. And he seems pretty compos mentis in that to me. It's not really... I mean, I don't agree with what he's saying, of course. It's mad, of course. But it wasn't babbling incoherent nonsense. He's like, he had his reasons and like reasoned them out with his own crazy logic. So what was his motivation? Well, he just hated Trump. He had full-blown TDS. Full-blown, super, super acute TDS. Like, he's calling Trump a rapist, a paedophile, a traitor, like un-Christian. It's like your duty to take him out because he's so evil, basically. Basically, in a nutshell. Someone's got to step up to the plate and kill Trump because it's just the right thing to do. And I don't see anyone else doing it, so I'm going to do it. Is Cole Allen's words. You can... That's the problem with saying stuff in the first person. You could just clip that of me saying that. No one's stepping up to the plate, so I'll do it. Said Cole Allen. There you go, I've done it twice now. All right, so. Yeah, he said things like in this little manifesto thing. It's barely a manifesto, is it? It's not like the... who was the... He was the one who lived out in the wilderness. I can't remember. Often the manifestos can sometimes be long and in depth. Well, this one wasn't. He just said, he's a leftist though. He is a leftist. So that was one of the first things that emerged. It's like, does he belong to either of the two parties? No, he didn't. But he was. Even though he wasn't like a full-blown card-carrying member of the Democrat Party. Oh, Ted Kaczynski. Yeah, like Ted Kaczynski, the Unibomber, he wrote a manifesto, and he was like actually really, really clever. Again, mad, but he was actually a really, really, really clever dude. And his manifesto is like, again, coherent. Again, I don't agree with everything he's saying. He was saying stuff like, science and progress is all terrible and evil. We need to go back in time, sort of thing. Almost. Not exactly. That's low resolution. But the point is, his manifesto read a bit like a manifesto. And then you got that one like, what was the guy? There was a guy called Cho or Chu, and it was like a Virginia Tech massacre. And he wrote one, and it's sort of very much not like Ted Kaczynski. It was just like this rambling nonsense type thing. There was a shooter not that long ago, one of the transgender ones. They wrote something, and it was just like, their mind is mush. It's like an idiot, psychopath child. No more than that. There's nothing to it. Well, at least this one, he did have his reasons. They're his reasons. Again, I don't agree with them, but he had his reasons. That obviously made sense to him and all that sort of thing. Okay, so he wasn't a Democrat, a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party, but he was obviously completely anti-Trump, anti-Republican. He had donated a small amount of money to an organisation that was like adjacent to the Democrat Party. I can't remember what it's called, something Act Blue or something like that. He like gave $25 to sort of help out Kamala Harris's campaign in 2024, something like that. So that's who the guy is. He's like, he seems to be just like a Californian libtard who's prepared to commit suicide by cop on the very small chance of killing Trump. Great. Okay. That's who he is. So next sort of few questions about it, things to say about it, I suppose. It's just like, you know, political violence in America becoming more and more common, particularly against Trump himself. I mean, he has suffered a fair few assassination attempts, more than others. One thing I would say is, looking back looking back at American history, as I have done a fair bit on Epochs and on my own history channel, History Bro, fair amount of content. I feel like it's more the case that the 1990s and perhaps the early 2000s, that was just a low ebb for political violence in the United States. And the amount of political violence we've got now is actually more returning to the norm. Some people might disagree with that. I feel like the 1990s and the early 2000s were sort of just a very, very low ebb. Because if you look back at like certainly the 60s and 70s, there was quite a lot of political violence in the United States. People getting shot and assassinated all over the place. And now it seems like we're just returning to much more sort of that level. Rather than now it's a sudden ramp up. Everything used to be perfectly peaceful and no one ever got shot. There was no political violence in the United States and now there is. No, that's not the case. That's not the case. Again, as I say, even in the 60s and 70s, lots and lots of people getting popped all over the place. I mean, the number of presidents just in general that have been assassinated is statistically quite a few. Way more than prime ministers. We've had hundreds of years more of prime ministers as well. I mean, I talked about TR getting shot, didn't I? Ronald Reagan getting shot. There's loads of them. Of course, famously, John Kennedy, Dealey Plaza, 1963. Written all about that, haven't I? I've got videos and articles written all about that. I am of the opinion it wasn't a single shooter. It's me. I've made the argument a number of times. You know, were the fingerprints of intelligence all over Lee Oswald? Yes. Was he the sole shooter from the book depository? I don't think so. I don't think that's possible. The doctors at Parkland Hospital said Kennedy had an exit wound in the back of his head, so. But there's more than that. Like McKinley. William McKinley. That's how Teddy Roosevelt became president. Teddy Roosevelt was just VP, but then the president, William McKinley, we're talking 1901. Someone walks up to him, an anarchist again, wasn't it? Pretty sure it was just an anarchist dude. Thought that the United States and the president was just like an oppressive thing. He wanted anarchy. And having like a functioning government was just, he didn't like that. Back in those days, you could quite often just walk up to the president. The president would be doing some sort of function, shaking hands somewhere, opening something. And if you wanted to, you could just walk up to him. They had a Secret Service, but very, very, very often, it wasn't like close protection or anything. So this dude just did walk up to President McKinley with a pistol hidden under a handkerchief and just shot him point blank. He didn't die for a few days, but he did. Lincoln, of course, right? Of course. Isn't Lincoln sitting in a box watching a play? John Wilkes Booth comes up behind him. Again, the Secret Service, the Secret Service wasn't quite a thing at that point. The president did have protection, but it was nothing like what we have today. I mean, not even remotely close. Again, a guy could just walk into the president's box, shot him in the back of the head, point blank range, with a Derringer, I believe. Again, Lincoln didn't die for like another day. Andrew Garfield, another president, just murdered by a dude at a train station. President just getting a train like anyone else. Is it another anarchist? Is that another anarchist? Because John Wilkes Booth wasn't an anarchist. He was a partisan of the South. Just after the Civil War. Just after the Union and Lincoln had won the Civil War. Garfield, I think that was another anarchist. Oh no, Garfield, it was a guy that just had like a personal grudge against Garfield. It was some guy that had campaigned on behalf of Garfield, then expected a job in government after that. And the Garfield administration were like, no, you're just some random dude. You don't get to be in government. And that And that guy, right, that's it. Fine. I'm going to kill the president now. And did. So, statistically, presidents of the United States, compared to other countries, other leaders, statistically, quite likely to get killed, or at least shot at. There's one thing, I don't know if anyone remembers this. During the Obama years, it didn't come to anything, it completely failed, but there was a bunch of people that tried to get into the White House or into the White House grounds, or they took like long-range sniper shots at the White House during the Obama years. Anyone remember this? And obviously, they didn't hit anything, of course, but... Yeah, and I think the president... Well, I don't think, I know. But the president of the United States, whoever they are, will have multiple, multiple real threats on their life at any given moment. The Secret Service and the FBI have got their work cut out for them. Like, is Trump particularly any more under threat than any other president? I mean, maybe slightly, because of TDS. Yeah? This is my backup water, by the way, not a second cup of tea. You know, like, has Trump had more close calls than any other president in recent times? Yeah, totally, yeah. Is he particularly more at risk than any other president? I would say probably only slightly. But the TDS thing doesn't help, does it? The way that the left-leaning media and the Democrat adjacent media over the last few years, 10, 15 years, whatever it is, or more, just stoked up more and more, stoked up the tensions more and more, you know? Some of them explicitly saying things like, we need to take Trump out. Right? Some of them say explicitly things like that, don't they? Have done. I see people even on Twitter sort of retweeting or getting screenshots from the past of left-leaning people in the United States just one way or another, either completely explicitly saying it or sort of dog-whistling to, you know, the concept, the idea, someone should try and kill Trump, shouldn't they? You know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Heaven forbid I should explicitly encourage anyone to do it, but if they did... Scum, isn't it? You don't see it from the other side very often, do you? I can't recall. It must have happened. But I can't really recall any big right-leaning or Republican-leaning influence of voices or media organs overtly stoking violence towards leftists. I don't recall that. I don't really recall it. I mean, it may have happened. It probably has happened a bit somewhere. I'm sure it has, but not much. I do remember loads of times, particularly during the last couple of years of Trump's first administration, during like the BLM stuff. Very often people, Democrats, would come out and say, as I said, things like, Trump should be stopped. You know, you can couch it in a specific way, isn't it? You're not saying explicitly that someone should go and do something like this, but just Trump should be stopped by any means necessary or whatever, you know. Scum, isn't it? It's really bad. Doesn't help, does it? Doesn't help. Our scumbags. So, okay, this is wall to wall. It's wall to wall. Should we have a quick look at what the actual headlines say? It'll be the same thing over and over, so I'll whip through it. Oh, you know, the king keeps calm. Look, Melania's heard the noises. Trump's like, yeah, this happens. Yeah, baby, welcome to the big time. Yep. King keeps calm and carries on. Okay, does he? All right. Washington in shock after Trump press gala shooting. Loads of people in the audience, not loads, but a fair few, making out that they're in real danger. Like filming it on their phones, but filming So the camera's pointing to them, so they're doing a bit to camera. Pretty narcissistic, isn't it? Imagine thinking you were genuinely in the middle of an assassination attempt or a mass shooting event, and you're a journalist in some way, you're at the correspondence dinner, you think you should document it for posterity, but you do it through the medium of a selfie. The narcissism involved in that. I got my phone out, I've got a camera that points outwards, a camera that points inwards, could be filming the scene and what's going on, but no, I'm going to film my own face. Mad. Trump hails brave king for US visit after shooting. Yeah, Trump likes Charles and the monarchy, doesn't he? Okay. Look at this. Suspects, this is the Financial Times. Questions mount over Trump's security lapses after brush with alleged shooter. Officials targeted, investigators say. Yeah, in his little manifesto thing, he said, look, I want to take out the president and members of the Trump government. I really don't want to kill any cops. I really don't want to kill any random civilians, any random people, even anyone that's just sitting in the audience. If they get in my way, I will. But I don't want to. They're not the target. He just explicitly says this, right? Then the Financial Times, suspect's motive unknown. No, it's known. Why are you saying that? It's TDS. That's the motive, basically. He explicitly said he thinks Trump was some sort of sex criminal and a traitor. It's just the morally right thing to do to try and murder him. Suspect's motive unknown. No, it's there in black and white. People found it immediately, or almost immediately. Certainly by the time the FT went to print here. Why do they say that? We don't know what the motive was when they do, nearly always. Like it's an Islamist screaming Allahu Akbar. We don't know what the motive might be. Yeah, right. All right, the mirror. Most of them going with the same image for some reason. King's US visit. All right, okay, the King. The Express, it's a good paper. Shooting chaos, but royal visit still on. All right. Trump defiant as third assassination attempt fails. He's hard to kill. The Donald, hard to kill. The Donald undefeated. 3-0. 3-0 for the Donald. Okay. Bedlam in the ballroom. Fears for King after third bid to kill Trump. I think there was a fourth one if you count. I mean, there's a number. Okay. King flies into US with extra security after gunman fails to shoot Trump. He didn't really get close, did he? Like even the Star, pardon me, which often goes with something else, doesn't it? Even they go with this. In the line of fire. Pardon me. Great film that, In the Line of Fire. 1990s film, Clint Eastwood, John Malkovich. That was the Secret Service trying to protect the president from an assassin. In the Line of Fire. Great film, honestly, I think. Okay. Zoomers, imagine, just would not get that reference. But that's a reference. The Tory graph. Same thing. Oh, they mentioned Herma. Herma insulted war heroes. Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, on a number of levels as well, right? Like, let's quickly read the little blurb here. It says, rather than the shooting incident in the US, the Daily Telegraph leads its front page with the latest part of its investigation into Lord Herma, the Attorney General, the UK Attorney General. It says that emails it has obtained show the Attorney General telling human rights lawyers that they had done more good for society than the decorated soldiers they had falsely accused of murder and torture. What a clown world. What an upside down world. That Lord Herma. Filth. He would be one that I would put in the dock in Bowes, Britain. Bowes Brigade takes control of the state. I'm Lord Protector, suddenly. Lord Herma goes on trial. Oh, yeah. crimes against the state, crimes against the people. A spokesman for the Attorney General tells the paper, quote, "The Attorney General has the greatest respect for the armed forces." Does he? "Has the greatest respect for the armed forces and the sacrifice they have made for our country. These emails simply show the Attorney General offering support to a junior lawyer who is exonerated of any wrongdoing and who was going through a difficult time." Oh, the human rights lawyer trying to falsely prosecute soldiers for torture and murder. They were going through a difficult time. And Herman was looking out for their well-being, their state of mind. Tells you everything, doesn't it? Tells you everything you need to know. Lord Herman, what a filthy scumbag. Filth. All right, they're the front pages. Should we have a look at our poll? We must have. We did a poll about Trump, the Trump thing, didn't we? Surely we did. Yeah, there we go. We asked you guys, 900 plus votes. Do you think Trump was in any real danger? I would have clicked no. Oh, well, okay. It's very close. It's one of the very close ones. So 37% of you say yes, he was in real danger. 38% of you, so marginal win for the no's. 38% of you say no, he wasn't. And a big chunk, 26%, say maybe. Actually, the answer's somewhere between, for me, somewhere between no and maybe. Maybe he was. I mean, he sort of was. I mean, he just wasn't in any immediate danger. But was he in some danger? Yes. Okay. So actually, the votes there do reflect that. I suppose maybe the question we posed to you was a bit vague, wasn't it? Maybe we should have said, was he in any real immediate danger or something? We just said, do you think Trump was in any real danger? I mean, he both was and wasn't, wasn't he? Okay, very close one there. 38% for the no's and just ticked down to 36% for the yeses. So very marginal no win there. Fair enough. Maybe we should have made the question a bit more specific. Although it's interesting when it's quite vague and then let you decide what we meant by it or what that means, what that question really means in your own mind. A bit more ambiguous. Perhaps they're slightly more fun to do polls like that. I don't know. All right. Shall we have a look at the websites? Or should we just have a quick look at the price of oil? No real reason. Like, the oil prices are massively in the news today. We're just doing that these days, aren't we? So we'd have a look, check in on it. Reasonably high. Okay, so West Texas is at $96 a barrel. And Brent is at $107 a barrel. So the story, again, is it's higher. Still not, like, you know, insanely higher. Considering everything that's going on in the Straits of Hormuz, I'm surprised at this point that it's not way higher. If you'd said to me at the end of last year, or in January this year, before this Iran war kicked off, that would be like something like 50 days in, getting close to, what, 2 months worth of war with Iran and the Straits of Hormuz being closed and blockaded both by the Iranians and the US, what would that do to the price of oil? I would have said, oh, well, that would make the price of oil go through the roof. I would imagine you'd see all-time highs, if not close to all-time highs, perhaps all-time highs. That would have been my guess at that point. But that's not what's happening, is it? I mean, again, it's not cheap. When this war started, roughly speaking, very, very roughly speaking, on average, the price of a barrel of crude was something like $78, $79, $80. It's now like about 100 odd, you know, the average, something around, very, very broadly speaking, something like $100 a barrel, right? So, yeah, more, it's gone up, but again, got to point out the price of a barrel of crude on the commodities market doesn't necessarily translate into how much a normal person actually has to spend on a gallon of diesel or petrol at the pump. It's not fair, is it? It's not fair. All right, let's have a look at the websites. What have we got? Most of them, of course, go with the correspondence dinner failed assassination attempt. But what else have we got? Here's an interesting story, I just thought, or the way the BBC frames it. Look, Israeli strikes kill 14 in Lebanon amid ongoing ceasefire. What? Ongoing... So it's not a ceasefire then, though, is it? Story talks about how the IDF, the Israeli Defence Force, gave evacuation warnings to several villages in southern Lebanon and then blew bits of them up during a ceasefire, amid ongoing ceasefire. Well, there isn't a ceasefire, is there? Why are you pretending? Why are you trying to say? Why are you trying to frame it like there's an ongoing ceasefire when there isn't? When the thing you're reporting about is factual evidence that there isn't. The doublethink involved in that. Murderous strikes that kill loads of people, including women and children, including babies in that one, some women, amid ongoing ceasefire. I mean, just stop claiming it's a ceasefire. That's the... If the Israelis are doing strikes and the Hezbollah are attacking back, okay, just say that. Why are you trying to pretend there's a ceasefire, though? Okay. All right. Should we have a look? What else have we got? Oh, Harry, what's happened with my links here? If I clicked on something, can you sort that out for me so I've got all my links back? Cheers. Oh, there we go. Thank you very much. I must have clicked on ever so slightly the wrong thing or something. Thank you, sir. All right. Did we have something in the... on ITV News, rarely comes up with something interesting or good. But today there's just a little bit there. I think it's worth mentioning. There's a little story there. What are the Henry VIII powers and why might Keir Starmer use them? It's interesting because Keir Starmer wants to bring us closer back to the EU, have better, at least better trade ability to trade with the EU. Just trying to undermine and undo Brexit, essentially. But wants to be able to do these things through Parliament, because it will take Acts of Parliament, or that you just amend existing Acts, and then you can use the so-called, it's only colloquially known as the Henry VIII powers. It's just quite interesting. It's about how there's primary and secondary legislation. Primary legislation is sort of full-blown Acts of Parliament. It has to go through a vote and all sorts of white papers and all sorts of debates. Get voted through the House of Commons, voted through the House of Lords, get royal assent, etc., etc., etc. That's primary legislation. Secondary legislation is supposed to be mainly to be to just sort of amend existing legislation, usually. There's more to it than that. I haven't got time to go through it all here in detail. It's not even particularly interesting, other than to say secondary legislation is like, say you've got a bill, like a really important piece of legislation, but there's a bit and it's like 20 years old, 100 years old, 400 years old, right? And there's a little bit in it, just one line in it, which is so antiquated and out of date that it's like it doesn't make sense anymore, and it's a problem for some reason. It's like a little loophole that's left over from ages ago, or it was just slightly wrong, and now it's a problem. Instead of going through the entire rigmarole of passing an entire new Act of Parliament, which might take ages and use loads and loads of energy and political capital just to amend a tiny aspect of it, you can sort of use secondary legislation to deal with that, right? And the way that works is in Parliament, there's no debate, it's just a yes or a no. It's the idea to speed things up, basically. It's just a yes or a no vote. The government wants to do X, Y, Z, and there's a vote today on that, yes or no. And so the vast majority of the time for secondary legislation, it just goes through de rigueur. It just goes through, of course, because of course it does. It's a complete no-brainer. Anyone that's being normal and reasonable will just say, yeah, of course, do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some tiny thing from like some Fisheries Act from like 1920 that's now a problem and doesn't make any sense and it's stupid. And of course, it's in our interest to just amend that one line in it. Yeah, fine. But if you were cynical and you wanted to use that process for other things where there's no debate and it's just either a yes or a no, and you've got the numbers to force through a yes, you could use it to change big things, couldn't you? If you wanted to. Conservatives were maybe looking at doing stuff like using so-called Henry VIII powers during the Brexit stuff. If you wanted to, and you had a good enough majority in the Commons, you could pass big and important things through that way. Couldn't you? Imagine that. Like our entire relationship with trading with the European Union. There's like a bill, you know, we've already got the leave Europe bill, various ones actually. What if you wanted to just basically scrub out most of what it says? Wanted to amend it so that you just, most of it becomes annulled. Then you do that process through secondary legislation. It's a yes or no today. And guess what? We've got the numbers to make it a yes. No debate. No white papers. No national debate about it. It's just happening now. Will Starmer do that? Wouldn't put it past him. They're complete scumbags, aren't they? Ramona's hell-bent, so unbelievably butthurt about the whole thing. They hate the idea that Westminster might be sovereign or that Britain might be in control of its own destiny because they hate us. They want us to be under the thumb, under the heel of European courts and legislative bodies that we don't get a say in. Why would you want that? Are you mad? Why would you want that? Or because the line might be ever so slightly longer when you go on holiday, you have to get a visa where you didn't used to have a visa. There's much more freedom of movement in European countries before, but now you've actually got to queue up a little bit at an airport or something. Oh, and that comes at the low, low price of the sovereignty of your own country. That comes at the low, low price of being told what you can or can't do or think or eat or build in your own country because a court in Europe has told you you can't. Yeah, good one. Good one. Ramona's mental spastics. All right. What have we got here? Oh, here's one. Remember, I don't know if anyone saw a week or two ago, it was all over the news and Twitter that Kathy Newman was leaving Channel 4 News. Remember Kathy Newman? This revolting shill. Remember her interview with Jordan Peterson? She just kept saying, so what you're saying is, and they're misrepresenting what you're saying, over and over and over and over again, to a comical degree. So you're saying we should live like lobsters? Shameless, absolute shameless. So she has left Channel 4. A little bit of a gloat. I even chipped in on Twitter. You know, like, bye-bye, love. Don't let the door hit you on the arse on the way out. Oh, she's only turned up on Sky News now. Look, Sky. Sky News. The Kathy Newman Show. That's not going to be insufferable. Yeah, that's not going to be just globalist, leftist slop. Sky News, some people think Sky News, like Sky News Australia isn't too bad, but Sky News, the normal British one, they think, oh, it's not as bad as like Channel 4 News or the BBC or something. That's really bad. Absolute globalist slop. Sky News. Disgusting. In both Britain, I'd very, very, very seriously considering just banning them from this country. They're a detriment to us. They undermine our society, our civil society. Sky News. Disgusting. Filth. All right. The Daily Mail. There we go. Here's the moment Secret Service dudes jump up on stage. Save the Prez. All right. What else did we have? Jennifer Lopez has still got abs. Well, a midriff. There you go. That's news. Someone won £1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You know, big stuff. Big stuff. All right. Is there one particular thing? Did I see one interesting thing? No, all right, sorry. The Express certainly had something of interest. Oh, yeah, that new Green MP, Hannah Spencer, a mad child, Hannah Spencer, claiming that she's like a plumber. A problem with home ownership and landlords, even though, and inherited wealth, even though she inherited wealth and is a massive homeowner, but like a property portfolio. Classic sort of champagne socialist. Well, the owning class are the problem, apart from me and my family. Hannah Spencer. She said something like, in Parliament, you can smell alcohol. Like when you go around Parliament and in between votes, MPs might have an actual tipple, might have an alcoholic beverage in between votes, in between debates and things. It's like, yeah, in Parliament, in the Palace of Westminster, the Parliament buildings, there's like multiple bars in there. there's a restaurant in Portcullis House and stuff. There's all sorts of things in there. It's not just this House of Commons chamber and the House of Lords chamber. It's a really massive building with all sorts of stuff, loads and loads of offices, and there's multiple bars in there. And yeah, there's a really heavy drinking culture. Yeah. And business quite often goes on late into the night in Parliament. Quite often. Very often. Sometimes votes happen in the middle of the night. Basically. Almost. And yeah, that people might have a drink in between that stuff. How didn't you know that? That's like really, really well known. Yeah, she's just like an idiot child, isn't she? So Nigel Farage just hit back at her saying, what I just said, it's like, yeah. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to like a grown-up world. All right. Zach Polanski, real name Dave Poulden, in all sorts of trouble about anti-Semitism. Which is weird, isn't it? It's because he's Jewish, David Poulden, he's Jewish, isn't he? But his party, loads of different people in his party, like Muslims, Islamists, say loads of anti-Semitic things on record. How'd you square that circle, Dave? Jug-eared freak. Weirdo freak. Did you ever see him running? You ever see that clip where he's running up to the stage at some live event? It's like this really, really uncoordinated, such a weird run. It's just so awkward. Such a physically awkward freak. Yeah, just loads of people in the Green Party. Muslims. Yeah, because the Green Party has been co-opted by Islamists, largely. It's not really about environmentalism, is it? Again, if you're out there considering voting Green on the strength of environmentalism, you're mad. Wake up. It's about a hardline form of socialism, if not almost real communism by any other name, and Islamism. Not about environmentalism, the Green Party. Yeah, just loads of things. Loads of Muslims in the Green Party. Look, they're all on record. And things like Zionists killed 20 million Christians. Jews trying to control the world. They blame Zionists for terror attacks on the World Trade Center. Jewish cockroaches. And on and on and on. Just loads and loads of examples of this. England has a government overrepresented with Zionists. It's just on and on and on. And then, so, Zach Polanski, real name Dave Poulden, who is himself a Jew. I wonder what his rabbi thinks about all of this. He presides over a den of Islamists, commie Islamists. He's in a little bit of a pickle, really, isn't he? A little bit of a bind. And where, of course, he's a degenerate himself, isn't he, personally? What the Islamists in their party think about that. Some sort of stage show, choosing to put like a leather clad, like, gay dancer. Looks like should be in like the Blue Oyster Club from an 80s cliche of a gay club. Put someone like that on stage in full daylight in front of kids and stuff. Could put anything on stage, could have anything you want, but he does that. What do the sort of the ultra conservative Islamist types in the Green Party think about that? They're not that happy about it, are they? It won't be very long, I wouldn't have thought before, the Green Party completely loses its Islamic vote for the Greens, because they realise it is much more about leftism, extreme leftism, degeneracy, not about Islam. You know, they'll realise they'll make their own party, and they've just got their own independence, they just vote for those. Why would Islamic people vote for the Green Party when they realise they don't need to? Alright, what else have we got? Was there something in the Sun? On Iran, quick things on Iran. Trump cancels US peace talks with Iran as Iranian regime made last minute offer. Yeah, don't believe that. Why would you? Yeah, Iran, yeah, right, Iran at the very, very last minute. Literally, like almost quite literally last minute. You know, the Americans waiting. Are you going to send anyone to Pakistan, Islamabad, for peace talks? We're ready to. Are you going to send anyone? No. All right, well, it's over then. And then at the last minute, the Iranians go, oh, we do want to make a peace. We do want to make a peace deal. No. Nonsense. The Ayatollah still hasn't been seen, still in hiding. They're saying he's had, like, his face and his lips really badly burnt to the point where he can't really talk properly and needs plastic surgery. And almost certainly has lost a bit of one of his legs. He's waiting for a prosthetic for one of his legs. So he was badly blown up in that original strike. Must have been very, very, very close to losing his own life. I mean, he may well be dead. Well, if you haven't seen him at all, he may well be dead. We still don't know, do we, for sure? Apparently, they're saying, the Iranians, whether you can believe them or not, they're saying he's not dead, but he is terribly, terribly wounded. Yeah, like his face and lips are all burnt. And I don't know if they're sort of burnt off, but he needs plastic surgery. Why they decided to make him the new Ayatollah? Don't you want someone who isn't half blown up to be the Ayatollah? Wouldn't that be better? No. Okay. All right. Okay, then. Look. Angela the Fridge Rainer, Big Bird, hoping to be the next Prime Minister. Apparently all her woes with the HMRC and her tax issues are going to be sorted out soon, according to some reports. And then that sets her free to try and be the Prime Minister. Oh, she's so gross. She's so unbelievably gross. All right, it's very near the top of the hour. Should we do a little bit of On This Day in History? I like doing that segment. You guys seem to like it. On this day, the 27th of April, down through the centuries. What happened of note? Just to finish the show? Quick few minutes of that? Yeah? Okay. On this day in 1565, first Spanish settlement in the Philippines is founded in Cebu City. I believe that's how you pronounce it, Cebu. Magellan went there, Cebu. Yeah, and the Spanish weren't actually booted out of the Philippines until the American-Spanish War in, like, the year 1900. Was it? No, 1899. So the Spanish were in there from 1565, or had connection with the Philippines before that, of course, but from 1565 to 1899, Philippines. It's the reason why the Philippines to this day is very, very heavily Catholic, isn't it? The Philippines. Never been there myself. Some of the islands do look lovely. Would like to visit it. All right, on this day in 1865, so right at the end of the Civil War, that would be, very, very end, the steamboat SS Sultana explodes in the Mississippi River, killing up to 1,800 people of the 2,427 passengers in the greatest maritime disaster in United States history. Most are paroled Union prisoners of war on their way home. Imagine that. You survive the battlefield, one of the battlefields of the Civil War. Very, very close to being as horrific as World War I battlefield, some of them. You survive that. Then you survive being a prisoner of war in the Confederacy. Again, it's not good. The whole Confederacy is being blockaded and starved out. So you, as a prisoner of war, is going to be, with the best will in the world, you're not going to get all that much. It's going to be bad. Andersonville, one of the POW camps in the south, Andersonville, looked like Belsen. Terrible, terrible, unbelievable. You survive all that. Finally, you're on your way home, packed in like sardines, but you're on your way home, and an accident. It seems like it was a genuine accident. The boiler blew up or something. And then you're blown up. 1,800 people blown up in one go. Yeah, terrible incident. Terrible incident. It's sort of not exactly forgotten. People that know, know. But it was largely overshadowed by other things. The end of the Civil War. Lincoln getting shot, because Lincoln was murdered right at the end of the Civil War, just after the end of the Civil War. So things like this are just overshadowed by that. But yeah, big, big thing. It says Sultana. Must have been terrible. Imagine the scene of it. In fact, don't. It's horrific. A horror. Okay, on this day, 1904, the Australian Labour Party, under Prime Minister Chris Watson, becomes the first Labour government in the world. There you go. So Australia has got a little bit of a history with progressivism. Not that they're actual, like, Marxists. Not exactly. Or full-blown socialists, although they will have been basically socialists. But at 1904, that is early, isn't it? Long before the Russian experiment, the Bolshevik-Russian experiment, isn't it? Okay, on this day, 1945, Italian partisans capture Benito Mussolini in Dongo near Lake Como. I've been to Lake Como myself. It is lovely. It's ridiculously nice. But Italian partisans capture Mussolini for the second time. So Mussolini's government first collapsed in like 1943. Was it the end of 42 or in 1943? Anyway, it collapses at that point. And the king of Italy dismisses him from government and he's arrested. Mussolini. Put in like a type of house arrest. Kept moving around Italy under a type of house arrest, under guard. Then the Nazis rescued him. They sent a, under Skorzeny, sent a special forces team. They found out where he was in some mountaintop retreat, really remote. They landed gliders in, a special forces raid, and saved him, brought him back. Do you reckon, Harry, do you reckon that on Epochs, my history-themed show behind the paywall on lotusetus.com, you consider joining for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership. Do you reckon I've got a long form piece of content talking all about that special forces raid to rescue Mussolini? A ridiculously dangerous special forces raid. On paper, an absurd thing that's just not going to work. But then it did. It worked perfectly to rescue Mussolini from Italian partisans. Well, yeah, it is there. I have done that. Okay. But as the war went on, eventually in the end, well, the Allies invade Italy, don't they? Anzio. They invade Sicily, and then they invade Italy itself. The bridgehead at Anzio and the Battle of Monte Cassino. It's all there. And in the end, Mussolini gets got again for the second time. And then they execute him. Beat him to a pulp. string his body up in Milan by a lamppost. Like just a bag of bones. That's what happened to Mussolini in the end. All right. On this day in 2005, the super jumbo jet aircraft Airbus A380 makes its first flight from Toulouse, France. That's interesting to me when I read that this morning. I didn't realise it was as early as 2005. If anyone doesn't know, because I love aviation, don't I? Civil and military aviation. Love it. Got loads of content about the history of civil and military aviation. Often in conversation, but not always, with RAF Fastjet pilot Tim Davies. All sorts of content about military and civil aviation, the history of it. I didn't realise the A380, which is an incredible craft. Giant, giant, giant thing. Didn't realise they were as old as 2005. Over 20 years old. Didn't know that. All right. Should we look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let's do that. Let me do this with my mic so I can see the section of the screen that's got the Rumble Rants on it. This really needs a bit of WD-40 on it. Somebody needs to sort that out. I won't do it. I'm just the talent. Let someone else do it. All right. Who do you reckon's in at number one on the Rumble Rants? It's only global church history, isn't it? Reigning, defending, still champion of Breakfast with Bo Rumble Rants. Global church history says, on this day in 711, it'd be the year 711 AD, General Tariq ibn Ziyad landed at Mount Kalb, now named Gibraltar after him, beginning the Berber conquest of the Visigothic kingdom in Iberia. Yeah, 711. So that's only what sort of, what is that? That's 60 years after the life of the Prophet Muhammad himself. So it's remarkable. Just think about that. In the space of what, like two generations, the Muslim armies, the Muslim hordes have gone from nothing to, from not existing, obviously, before Muhammad didn't exist. In a couple of generations, they've conquered all of Arabia, all of the Near East, all of the Levant, the Holy Land, all of Egypt, all of North Africa, all the way across North Africa, the whole thing. And then they're pushing up into Spain, Iberia, in like two generations. Remarkable thing. Many historians have noted that the world of the 8th century, 7th and 8th century, was ripe for a new sort of wave of conquest. Because it was so exhausted. The world, the Mediterranean world anyway, was exhausted from antiquity, from late antiquity. If there was some great new badass horde, like a Mongol horde or an Islamic horde, the most of the world was just there ready to be taken. The world wasn't filled with giant professional armies at that point, like it might have been 400 years earlier. Anyway, there you go. You also say, in 1521, Magellan died at Mactan. Yeah. I reckon I've got something like 15, is it more, even 20 hours? Over 15 hours talking about Magellan on my history show at Epochs. Yeah, it was still there, honestly, I'm not exaggerating. Right, Harry? You worked on those ones.
They were my favourite. It's my favourite series we've done.
Little Harry's favourite. So, if you want to know about Magellan and the first man to circumnavigate the globe, you want me to tell you that story in sort of audiobook level of detail, for just £5 a month. In fact, you can only need to sign up for 1 month, listen to them all, cancel it if you want. In fact, I think we've got a thing where you can buy individual videos. It would be like $1 or $2 or something. I don't even know. I don't deal with any of that stuff. But yeah, Magellan died at Mactan. I say died. He was cut to bits. Killed in a skirmish, just a very, very small battle. And then quite literally cut into bits. All right. For Tim Barber says, morning, Bo. Good weekend. Morning, sir. Yeah, it was a good weekend. Thanks. Yeah, cheers. Yeah, it was nice. I got to relax on the Sunday, well, Sunday day in the evening. I was doing a live stream with Nate for the State of Politics. The State of Politics. You go to the Steyncam. Steyncam? State of Politics. Did a live stream for that in the evening, but during the day on Sunday, yeah, totally relaxing, just chilled out. It was great. I don't usually get many days like that, so... No, that was nice. Anyway, 14 Barber says, good weekend, yeah. Managed to get more writing done. I did a tiny bit of writing on my novel. I'm trying to write a novel. Did a tiny bit, not enough. Should have done more, as always. I beat myself up a little bit about that. Should have finished it by now. Should have finished it... Should have finished it a good few years ago at this point. The problem is with writing fiction... It sounds like really like a theatre kid thing to say, like a really lovey thing to say. But it's just true for me. If the muse is not upon me, it's difficult to write. You have to be in the right mood, the right mind space to do writing, fictional writing. You can't just force it like an essay or an article. Just sit down and just force yourself to do it. It doesn't really work like that. You have to be, for me anyway, I have to be in exactly the right sort of place in my own head and everything. And if it's not, if you're not feeling it, it doesn't flow. It sounds really artsy-fartsy, doesn't it? But I don't know how fictional writers, novel writers do it. I don't know how they sit down and force themselves to do a bit of writing every single day. Because that's what a lot of writers say they do. It's never worked for me. I've never been able to do it. Never have. All right, you also say, did I manage to get any writing done? Question mark. I did, 14 Barber, I did. Poetry still feels weird. I can't write poetry. I can't do it. I haven't got the confidence to write it. Tried a number of times, and then you read it back, and I'm like, ooh, that's cringe. But you said, it feels weird. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I've always thought that. It feels, doesn't, yeah, I'm not comfortable. Did you see Jos Verstappen's horror crash in the Belgian rally? No, I didn't see that. Jos Verstappen, Max Verstappen's dad, he had a horror crash. It looks dreadful. Luckily, he was all right. Okay, well, that really will be the first thing I Google when I get off of this. I kind of hate Jos Verstappen. Or rather, I don't hate him. I don't hate him. I like to dislike him. Sorry, I won't talk about racing for long, because I know most people on the boat show don't care about it, but... Jos Verstappen's like, I think he's a bit of a dick. He almost certainly seemed to have bullied Max Verstappen growing up. Dads that bully kids. It's all right to be strict. In fact, you should be relatively strict. A kid needs boundaries, firm boundaries. But you go across that line into bullying them though. Browbeating them, intimidating them. Seems like Jos Verstappen was a horrible dad to Max. I mean, he raised a world champion. And Max Verstappen does seem quite well balanced. So maybe it's okay, but that I don't know. He had a horror crash. Okay. But he's all right. Well, good. Good. I don't wish him injury or death, of course. Far from it. All right. Fallen Firebird says, hello, Bo. I highly recommend you... Peter Wilson's great book on the Holy Roman Empire. Holy Roman Empire is always derided, but this book convincingly opposes against that. Plenty of beautifully autistic detail. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds cool. Peter Wilson. Maybe I'll try and find it. Have a look. Holy Roman Empire, the history of it. I've got bits of content here or there. Nothing sort of specifically on a grand overview of the Holy Roman Empire. But here or there, of course, we'll have talked about it at various times. Peter Wilson. Okay, well, thanks for the recommendation. I appreciate that. All right, now we've got the YouTube Super Chats. There's a few of these, a dozen or so. So should we whip through these then? What have we got here? Again, do we control the colours of these, Harry?
We don't. But
oh, okay.
Looking.
All right. Just to let you know, the background is a very light colour, and then the writing itself is in white. And my eyeballs struggling to read it a bit. So, all right, it says, I need glasses, don't I, really? I've got to stop kidding myself. Contacts. All right. Okay, the first one is Thomas Tyne. Thomas Tyne says, this makes me fall straight into please don't make me defend Trump territory. Like, yeah, political violence, not a great thing. Yeah, I know how you feel. Yeah. No, I agree. No, I agree with the sentiment completely. See, I can't read it. Does that say Violet Death Ray? Violet Death Ray, I think that's what that says. Sorry if I'm getting your name wrong. Thanks for the super chat. I can only apologise if I can't read it, can't see it right. Violet Death Ray, I think that says he donated to Kamala. This will be that Cole Allen would-be assassin. He donated to Kamala and went to No Kings. As someone who lives in a democratic state, everyone is registered independent. They let you vote in both parties. Okay, interesting. Fair enough. It does seem to have been obviously much, much more left aligned than anything else. He donated to Kamala. Yeah, it was like $25, wasn't it? Not like a great deal, but yeah. No doubt about it. Certainly wasn't a dyed-in-the-wall GOP, was he? All right. Anime Chud Party says, crazy how 5 attempts have been made on Trump. Yeah, a few people, even in the headlines and things, are saying it's the 3rd attempt. No, it's more than that, isn't it? It is more than that. At least 5, I think. Depending on how you count how far down the line someone's attempt gets before you count it. But yeah, I mean, at least 5. It's more than 3, isn't it? Including this one. Okay. Psychological projectionist. Is that what that says? Again, my eyeball's failing me this morning. I think it says psychological projectionist. Says, Dems no longer abhor violence when it's their side. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a classic thing. All through in modern history, you will find that it's anarchists and leftists that do a lot of the political violence. Not always, of course. Far from always. Not claiming that, but often. To the point where it's like a cliche. Like a cartoonist will have a caricature of a bomb throwing red. A book I was reading the other day, that was the turn of phrase I read in a book I was just reading the other day. A bomb throwing red. Yeah, they make out they're the good guys. Like, it's right-wing violence that's the main problem, sort of, ever. Not really. It's nearly always a reaction to leftist violence. Nearly always. All right. Field Marshal Dawn Browning doesn't say anything and just gives $10. Hoi! Thank you, Field Marshal. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I've got to speak to Chris Dangerfield at some point soon, haven't I? I've got to. I've reached out to him a couple of times. It's a shame that I don't speak to him much anymore or at all. I would like to. I'll reach out again. Scrub Nation. Hashtag Scrub Nation. Okay. What's this? Imasonite, might be reading that wrong, says, it's not enough to say I don't care with accusations of racism. You have to make them regret making it by turning it back on them. Thoughts? I mean, yeah, sure. That, the whole thing, that, like the term, the accusation of racism has been used as a cudgel to silence whole nations. For decades. It's got to come to an end. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. You've got to step over that. The idea that you've got any in-group preference just means you're a racist and you must be shut down and shut up forever. to the point where you get invaded, to the point where your women folk get raped on an industrial scale, to the point where you're told that doing maths or being on time or watching Lord of the Rings is racist. What? What? Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. You say, it's not enough just to say I don't care if someone accuses you of racism. You should hit back at them. Yeah. Yeah, fair point, fair point. Amelia for Restore, that's the person's name, Amelia for Restore says, Iran leader says, you gurned my rib sauce. Don't know what that means. I don't know what that means, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. Harry? Is that a reference to some Zuma thing that I don't know about? Some computer game or something? Okay, sorry. Thanks for the super chat there, Amelia. I don't know what that means. Sorry. I feel like it's a reference to something, isn't it? But it's a reference that I just don't get. Okay, thanks anyway. Thomas Tyne again says, Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive. Yeah, he was. But not in the modern sense, remotely. Not in the modern. He was a progressive in terms of 19th century conservatism. So he was a Republican, imperialist, conservative. And within that framing, he's on the conservative side of that, right? So, but he's not a progressive, he's on the progressive side of that. But he wasn't like a progressive in our sense. He wasn't a leftist in any way, shape or form, right? He wasn't. Okay, so, well, when he broke away from, when he wanted to try and run against Taft, try and win a third presidency, he had to form his own party to do that. It was called the Progressive Party, but just to be clear, because we're talking like pre-World War One, it's like 1910 or something. It's not progressive as we mean it. TR was not a libtard. Far from it. Far from it. He's a great man, in my opinion. Great man. Flawed. Didn't agree with anything he ever said or did. Great man nonetheless. Okay. F Google 2, and it's more explicit than that, but I'll just say F Google 2 says, how do you feel about quasi history like Tartaria? Yeah, it was nonsense. Yeah, it's nonsense. I'm interested in real history. I'm only an armchair historian, right? I've only got an undergrad in history and a postgrad in political philosophy. So I'm not a PhD in history. I've never lectured on history. I haven't got any books published on history. So I'm not a professional historian. Never claimed to be. I'm just a history fan who's made some YouTube videos about history. But I'm interested in real history. So the Tartaria thing is nonsense, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm aware of it. Do I even need to say about how the Tartars are an actual tribe and that at various points in history people have talked about Tartaria, so there's evidence, but there's this whole subset of people talking about this like lost empire of Tartaria, and all of the history as we know it is wrong, and that's the real thing. It's just nonsense. I'm not interested in it. I won't spend another second talking about it, I'm afraid, but thanks for that super chat. And the last one, is this the last one? Yep, the last one for today says, it's opening doors one. They say, Bo, do you think we have the best of the best in our political system throughout the West? I'm starting to drift towards perhaps not. Could be wrong. Classic sarcastic understatement there, yeah. No, it gets rid of the best of the best, doesn't it? You can only really get through the system, climb the greasy pole, largely, if you just play their game and become an establishment and globalist shill in various ways. Hopefully that's starting to change now. I mean, look at Restore Britain. Aim high, vote low. Millions must go from Zoomers to Boomers. Aim high, vote low. But yeah, a lot of it is designed, isn't it? It's by design to keep nativists out, patriots out, largely. So yeah, perhaps starting to drift towards... That's a no. Classic understatement. Thank you very much for the super chat. Okay, that's the show. It's just ticked 24 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Monday, the 27th of April in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and a few sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it's not a thing. It really isn't. Try to make the best of the day ahead, if you can. You've got the whole day ahead of us, right? If it's possible, if your whole day isn't taken up with just working or doing chores or something, you've got a bit of free time to choose what you do with it, try and make it count. Carpe diem, seize the day. Try and do something of value with your time, if it's at all possible, because it's finite. You'll never have this day again. The most valuable thing you've got by a long, long, long way is your time. If you can, try and make it count. All right, then, until tomorrow morning, take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.